Thank you. All parties for standing by. All lines have been placed on listen-only until the question-and-answer session of conference. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I will now introduce you to your speaker, Karthik Sivakumar. You may begin.
Okay. Thank you, Laurie. Hello, everyone. Good morning to people in India, and greetings to everyone in other geographies. And for those who are listening this through the replay. My name is Karthik Sivakumar, and today I will be taking you through Tivoli Access Manager for e-business prospecting. A quick background about myself. I've been with IBM for over 12 years now. I work as a security architect and part of the security solutions Tiger team. I've had personal experience, and good ones, of course, while deploying TAMEB for various customers. I've also been involved in proposals and competitive situations with the product. So I'll be glad to take you through an overview of what TAMEB is for today. And we'll also cover aspects on competitive positioning and so on later through the slides. So the slide deck that I'm referring to is TAMEB Overview and Prospecting.ppt. This has about 32 slides in it. I'm on to slide 2. So slide 2 pretty much talks about the agenda. So today we'll talk about what TAMEB is. So we'll start from the basics. I understand this presentation is meant for IBM internal security sellers as well as business partners. So the initial part of the presentation will be on giving on a technical overview, and then the later part will be towards sales prospecting and so on and so forth. So with that in mind, the agenda is placed as you can see. It starts with what Tivoli Access Manager for e-business is as a product. It will also cover what components it is comprised of. What are the typical architectural challenges and why TAMEB hopes to solve them, and various aspects on how TAMEB is deployed in a customer environment. So that will give us the solution overview and best practices. Then the subsequent part of the session will cover about 2 points about how customers, how we can go about asking customers if they have an opportunity, how do we qualify an opportunity, and also to know what our differentiators are as a product with respect to our competition. And there are also a few slides where we'll take you through comparing and contrasting TAMEB with other Tivoli IAM solutions. We'll finish up with a couple of new product features that have been introduced as of the latest TAMEB 6.1 product. And with a couple of objections that you may face during your sales situations and how to handle that. So we'll go ahead. I'm on to slide 3. So conventionally, if you look at any enterprise and how they want to address security, the one that it is basically comprised of two approaches. One approach is to say, I have a core application, and they are the ones that are going to really help my business. I will need to protect them. And there are security aspects that are going to affect these applications, such as viruses, denial of service attacks, risk, and so on and so forth. And the orientation towards that is basically to keep the intruders out. So that is the philosophy of protecting, or rather one way of protecting your applications. Now, that is another philosophy, which basically focuses on saying, in terms of security, you ensure that only the right people who are allowed to access your business are able to access your business information. So that is the second philosophy. And the best practices typically include both the focuses. So you need a combination, or any enterprise needs a combination of being able to manage the threats, risks, and so on, and also to ensure that they are having sufficient systems and policies in place in order to ensure that only the right and the authorized people are allowed to access their business information. So among the two, TAMI-B focuses pretty much on the second part, which is mainly to ensure that it allow authorized people in. I'm on to slide 4. Slide 4 talks about what TAMI-B is all about. On the right-hand side, you see a picture. On the right-hand side, on the top, the picture has the title IBM Security Framework. As you may be aware, IBM has a very comprehensive security framework. It consists of 5 key pillars: people and identity, data and information, application and process, network, server and endpoint, and physical infrastructure. And all this is wrapped up around the security GRC, the governance, risk, and compliance practice. This framework is along the lines of what COBIT and other industry standards prescribe. And we have our capabilities which are pretty deep in most of these areas. And I would say all of these areas for sure. And in order to address solutions, we have capabilities through the services angle, through the professional services, which will help you deploy the solutions at the customer environment, manage services, as well as hardware and software and solutions across these various 5 pillars. TAMI-B pretty much touches upon 2 of these pillars, as you say. One is the people and identity layer. The other is the application and process layer. We will see how in the slides to come. So fundamentally, TAMI-B stands for Privileged Access Manager for e-business. It is part of the TAM family of Privileged Security products. Now, if you ask what is the purpose of TAMI-B, what are the main points, that this main key features of the product? There are 3 prime key features. One is that it helps to provide a centralized authentication framework. The other is to provide a centralized authorization framework. And third part is to provide you web single sign-on. Authentication relates to identifying who the person is. So it can be a factor of what the person knows, such as like a user ID, password, or even a combination of factors like what the person knows and what the person has. So the person could also carry a smart card or any other form of credential apart from a user ID and password. Nevertheless, the purpose of authentication is to validate the user coming in. If we try to relate to an analogy of carrying our ID cards within our campus, so here the credential that we have is our ID card. An authentication is when we basically swipe to a particular building or a premise, it tries to validate, do I know the person represented by this ID card? That is the process of authentication. Authorization basically means, I know that you are an employee of this company, but do you have access to these areas that you're trying to enter to? That is basically what authorization is. So authorization pretty much means that it is a check to ensure that the person, that the system knows whether the person has the required access to resources he's requested for. The third aspect is the web single sign-on. Web single sign-on means once you have authenticated and you have sufficient authorization rights to access the required places, how do I ensure that I'm not asked to present the credentials again and again, even though I'm going to a different premise? In the internet world, if we take an example, if we look at our typical banking sites, you may have seen that you may have logged into your net banking, but your banking service provider would have also provided other applications like mutual funds, DMAT, debit cards and information, and so on and so forth. Now, in order to provide rich end-user experience, we want to ensure that these applications are separate, they have IDs and passwords, they could be the same or they could be different. But nevertheless, for the end user, you need to present a capability as though the person is accessing one single application. And that is done by ensuring that you ask the credentials once, you do your authorization checks, and you ensure that you sign on to the respective applications to give that experience. So TAMID provides these three core features, and also we have additional features such as compliance in order to ascertain that this person has indeed been able to log in successfully at a certain instance of time and he's accessed this particular resource. So that is definitely useful in various industries in order to prove who has accessed what. Okay. Couple of things to keep in mind. TAMIB works pretty much on web transactions only. So there are other single sign-on offerings in IBM to help you sign on to the client applications or terminal applications. But what needs to be kept in mind is TAMIB works only if you are having single sign-on over the web or HTTP traffic. The other typical question that arises is, can TAMIB be used across various network zones? So is it applicable to intranet or extranet or internet and so on? So TAMIB can be used and has been used in many various customers as well across the various network zones in order to provide you the key features as displayed earlier. We will go on to what TAMIB comprises of. If you look at the picture on the right bottom of slide 4, it basically has a few key components. You have the requester, which is pretty much like a browser in our web world. And it basically, you try to access a particular target. Your target could be a banking application or credit card application, or if it's a telecom industry, or a bill payment, and so on and so forth. So whichever the target is, a requester is trying to access a target. And the job of the policy enforcer is to ensure two things. One is, do I know this person who's talking to me? Do I know if he's going to have the required level of access? Is he allowed as per the various business policies of the organization to access at this point of time? So this policy information is stored in a policy server depicted in purple on the top. The other aspect is the user registry. So the user registry contains information on validating the user who's trying to access your particular system. And the third part is the objects and rules, which will help you give you a computed decision of whether the person has the required level of access to access a particular resource. The policy enforcer is pretty much going to check with the policy server, does this person have the policy? Do I know him? Is he allowed by the rules? And if the result is yes, then the requester is allowed to access the target. If the answer is no, then basically you have a status denied and you can have a customized page to inform that the status is denied. So this is the simple authorization decision model that TAMIB works on. And the primary components in a TAMIB environment are the policy enforcer, which is the heart of a TAMIB environment. So this is also known as the web seal. So the other components are the user registry that stores the user information like user ID, passwords, and in cases, other information, email and other attributes that are required, as well as certificates and so on. Now, the other important component is the policy server. The policy server will contain information on who as a user or who as a group of users has access to what kind of resources. So that will consist of access control lists and so on. Apart from these primary components, we also have add-on components in a typical TAM environment. One of this is the authorization server. Authorization server is pretty much a replica of the policy server information. The session management server is basically, as the name indicates, it's to ensure stronger session management across multiple policy enforcers. So if a policy enforcer goes down, how do I ensure that when the user requests transfer to the other policy enforcer, which is highly available, how do I ensure that the session is still active? So that's what your session management server does. And common auditing and reporting server. That is basically to take care of your auditing to ensure that whoever has logged on and what actions they have done is being audited and reported, and and the organization is able to generate useful auditing and report information out of it. Moving on to slide 5. We talked about things like authentication, authorization, and single sign-on. But the typical question that many enterprises may try to defend is by saying, yes, I do have my portal server or my environment which is capable of doing that. So why is it that we need this TAMEB kind of a product? Now, if you look in slide 5, the first part without animations, you may see that this will be the typical environment or mechanisms to access, and it depicts a sample banking environment. Now, your web server will pretty much forward request to your portal server, and portal server may do your various forms of authentication and so on. Now, there are many security aspects that comes when a portal server, what a portal server has to handle. A few examples would be authentication of the user, and authentication modes, authentication failures, and re-authentication, so based on idle timeouts and so on. Authentication modes could be what all different forms of IDs, passwords, and strong authentication I can support. Single sign-on. How does the portal server ensure that I am signed on to the other targets as well? Logoffs. How do I ensure that I maintain a single session across the applications that are going through me or even across the enterprise? Common three-strike policy, account policies, and password policies, and there are many more. And what needs to be kept in mind is that the applications will also tend to scale up. So your load on the portal server is also going to be high, as well as organizations will have a particular roadmap of user growth. So all this put in mind, this creates two problems. One is it basically lets unknown users, the users whom you have not validated, to come to your managed zone where your core information lies, and then you're trying to validate them. So that brings what we call a security risk. And the other aspect is a delivery channel like a portal or an application server. It is primarily meant to handle your business logic or presentation logic, but not meant to handle your security issues. So if you are asking the delivery channel to handle that, it invariably causes a performance overhead. So in situations such as this, it makes absolute sense to delegate your security responsibilities to a specialty piece which resides in demilitarized zone. And in the case we are referring to here is TAMEB, so your web seal will reside in your demilitarized zone. Page 6, so you have a before and after scenario. Conventionally, all applications are typically lie what we call as islands of security. Every application will have its own security policy. Every application will have its own user and group info and the audit. And it's often a nightmare for any organization to be able to manage this complexity. As the number of applications increases, as the number of users increases, and so on. For the end user, there are issues like too many passwords to remember. And for admins, it is basically like you'll have to have multiple access control tools, and they have to ensure that this person has access to XYZ application. And you need to embed that control for each and every application. And it is not very uniform. And if you want to consolidate when a user has access to what applications, it becomes a nightmare to be able to collate information across these applications. So with TAMEB, it helps you solve these problems. As you see on the right side, it brings in a unified security policy, brings in authentication through a unified user registry, and it helps you do a centralized audit. Slide 7, it depicts a typical high-level solution overview or the architecture of how it is deployed. So if you can see in slide 7, you will have various types of users, our partners, customers, employees, suppliers, and so on. They can access all their web applications through a single logical layer called the HTTP reverse proxy, which is basically what your SAM does. And then it posts the persons are authenticated and authorized. They are allowed to access the various applications on the back end. So this brings in into what we call as defense in depth. And this is typically described as a best practice. And to explain that further, the first level of defense is you are ensuring that only authenticated users are going to come in. The second level is you're going to ensure that only authorized users are going to come in. And third level, you can also ensure that various policies by means of saying who are these users, at what time of the day are they trying to come, from what network are they going to come, and so on and so forth. So it brings you various levels of defenses, and the last level of defense can always be in the application, where you say, all right, I know this user, he's allowed during this time of the day, but is he allowed to access this particular menu at this time of the day, and so on. So that brings in an overall defense in depth from an enterprise security standpoint, addressing their web application security. So this picture also denotes that you can have secure intranet-based access to your applications. One other point I want to highlight in this slide number 7, is that TAMEB works best on what we call as a proxy-based approach or reverse proxy-based approach. It also has the capability to work in on a plug-in approach. But often, more than not, we have invariably gone with a proxy-based approach with various customers because that is more beneficial rather than having plug-in at every individual application or web server. So in terms of manageability, ease of addressing security, the proxy approach has always worked out well in our favor, and that has been one of our strengths that industry analysts also recognize as well. Slide 8 talks about multiple steps. The first step is basically to ensure that end users who are going to access your environment, they are going to be authenticated. And TAMEB in action can support multiple authentication mechanisms. We will see in a couple of slides some what are the forms of authentication it supports. It also helps you address web single sign-on within your domain. The second level step is that TAMEB helps you take authorization decisions in conjunction with the policy server. And we talked about fine-grained authorization, which is authorization within a particular application and so on. So those applications can delegate their authorization decision to TAMEB to take a call. For instance, WebSphere portal can talk to policy server, and this is a proven or an established setting. By means, you can have TAM store the information on who has access to view which portlet within a particular page. So that kind of an authorization decision can always be transferred or delegated or externalized to TAM. Slide 9, TAM provides plenty of robust management tools. It provides capability of delegated administration. Now, this is also browser-based. And delegated administration is particularly useful where you have various realms of control. For instance, you could have TAM as an enterprise-class security product, it can cater to multiple business units within an organization. And to explain that, you could have, let's say, in a telecom industry, various prepaid users who are registered onto a TAM environment and managed by one set of administrators, and a postpaid users and DTH users and so on, who can be individually managed by separate people or group. In terms of other companies, you could also think this as departments that are being managed through their own administrators. So TAM provides you the capability of that. And the other aspect is the support for multiple user registries. So often you may land into a customer who may say, all right, so we have user registry. What registry do you support? And if our answer was only Tivoli Directory Server, then it wouldn't have been as viable because customer would say, okay, but I already have Microsoft Active Directory in place. What do I do with that? Do you want to bring in another Active Directory? Do you want to bring in another directory server in my enterprise? Then the management of that becomes difficult. So that's where TAM's capability to support multiple Active Directories, multiple registries, TAM's capability to support multiple registries becomes often beneficial. It can support a few of those types are listed, like Tivoli Directory Server, Sun1 Directory Server, Novel Directory, Domino, and Active Directory. TAM has also good policy-based linkage to TSIEM. So you, TSIEM is our Tivoli Security Information and Event Manager, primarily to have user monitoring on who has accessed what. So when you have the linkage of who has accessed what and who's been accessing what and in what pattern and so on, so that brings customer a good level of visibility of what is happening on the various accesses within the organization. Point five, the product is enterprise class and it's extremely scalable and it supports high available configuration. And the question could be, like, if these policy information were there at a server, would every time during a login, would TAM need to consult a policy server and that will bring in latency? So the answer is no, and that's why TAM has this concept of replicated policy cache through which all the policies, when it's updated, it becomes replicated to a database within TAM, within the web seal environment. And the policy information is instantaneous. So that also increases our availability of the overall solution. So even in case the policy server is down, your TAM has the capacity to act to be able to log in users through the replicated ACL cache. And this cache is not only this cache is basically persistent in the sense that even during restarts of TAM EB, the cache information will still remain. Point six, TAM EB provides session services such as log off, session displacement, through last login, and so on. And this is again a feature that has been desired by many companies. Often, there is companies would try to set policies by saying, "I want to ensure that the last password is not repeated so many times. I also want to ensure that if a person has tried logging in four times using an invalid password, I want to block it off." And having an environment like TAM EB will help you ensure that the users who are going to come in right at the entry point, you're blocking the users from accessing any other application. And this proves to ease and out your unified security policy as we described earlier, which without it, it would have been that I may have allowed the user to access WebSphere four times, but probably Domino two times, and so on and so forth. And maybe different systems would have supported different minimum levels of policy, and some would not have had support. So bringing in TAM EB can bring you additional security controls and bring it to you in a unified manner. 3 points to remember on slide 9. As you can see on the top left, this has been an extremely successful product. We pretty much call this like a flagship product. It has over 1,500 customers. It has proved to be scalable to several millions of users. And it has several integrations with various customer environments. So there is a huge list of applications that people have already established integration to. And you may want to see whether your customer environment is having those applications. If so, you could go back with a ready answer to say yes, it is integrated and so on and so forth. Slide 10. This slide talks about the various aspects of strong authentication. So the various forms of authentication that SAMEB supports. So for a user authenticating to TAM, one is the basic authentication, which is like your pop-up. And the other is a forms authentication, which is like what you see in a web browser when you go to a page and enter your ID and password, like in the internet and so on. Secure ID token is a means of entering one-time passwords that you may get, literally like in a hardware token. X509 is basically like a digital certificate. And SAMEB supports various other types, basically through its native means, as well as through extended modules. So if there is any particular authentication a customer wants and which is not there in this list, so SAMEB has a mechanism called external authentication interface, through which you can have your application do your own level of custom authentication and then inform SAMEB, yes, this has been authenticated, and now you can continue with your authorization and your session policies and so on and so forth. So that has also been a very successful means of using SAMEB in customer environments. This slide also has links on various proven integrations. I would encourage you to read that to see what are the various systems, what different types of biometrics and other ways people have integrated SAMEB with. SAMEB also supports other forms of authentication, such as re-authentication or step-up. Re-authentication is to ensure that critical users, critical pages, or critical target resources, whenever a user has clicked in, and even though he's logged in, even though the session is still valid, you are forcing the users to re-authenticate for an extra level of security. Step-up basically means that you move your level of security from a particular level, let's say like a user ID password, to an increased form of security, could be like a smart card or a token or a biometric, especially when you want to access a more critical resource and you want to be absolutely sure or much more sure that the person whom is interacting, I don't want to compromise that the person could have got an ID and password somewhere, but I want to be absolutely sure by having a combination of factors that I validated the particular user interacting with my system. That's where step-up comes of use. So far we have covered about what SAMEB is, what are the components, what is the typical architecture, how we have the web seals located in the DMZ, how they are highly scalable, what forms of authentication it has supported, and so on and so forth. We will now focus the remaining of the discussion about how do I identify SAMEB opportunities and how do I progress with them. On to slide 11, we see some of the value propositions. So one thing you may often observe is that many customers have, most of the customers have web-based application architectures, be it web servers, application servers, portals, and so on and so forth. And towards web security, they may almost always have goals like single sign-on, role-based control, how do I validate my identity, how do I provide strong authentication, how do I ensure governance, and so on. So these are areas which gives us people to be able to identify these opportunities and try to position SAMEB in such cases. And one important aspect also to note is customers are going for web-based architecture and they want to ensure high performance. So you can also pitch in security in view of enabling performance through SAMEB. Flight Well talks about various buying occasions and how to identify other SAMEB opportunities. So customers may have requirements to say, I want to gain control over various web transactions. I want to ensure who are the people who are accessing what. I want to be able to place various levels of control. There may be various types of users within my organization. I need to cater to their security needs and so on. And all these are web-level transactions. So that brings in a good SAMEB opportunity where we can position our authentication, authorization, and rules-based authentication, and dynamic rules, and so on and so forth. The other area where you can identify a SAMEB opportunity is a customer trying to go in for a new portal kind of a project. One thing you must keep in mind is with WebSphere portal especially, SAMEB has excellent integration capabilities. These are all well documented within SAM, within our IBM Redbooks, as well as within the portal documentation. So if you have a WebSphere portal, definitely try to position SAMEB for its values, as well as if you have portal projects in general, which may not be even WebSphere portal, even in such cases, you have a good prospect to position SAMEB to ensure web single sign-on and relate to the aspects that we've talked earlier, such as how do I enable your portal infrastructure for better performance and to delegate your security responsibilities to specialized web security component. Another type of buying scenario may be towards compliance on providing internal controls, who has access what information. So we talked about SAMEB fits in TSIEM implementation. Slide 13, we have had several customers who have had various and large amounts of success with SAMEB. You can see large U.S. telecom-based companies who have more than 50 to 60 million users. And when you take the value proposition to customers, you may be asked the question, all right, my organization has X number of users, and very rarely you come across several multi-million. But even then, we have strong stories to say that over the several million of users, we have proven and established environments where SAMEB has been able to scale up to. There are links where you can go further for further case studies. Slide 14, whom to call. So this slide typically lists some of the buyers or the influencers in a SAMEB deal and how do we try to establish a conversation. So for the management that is overseeing the security admin, it could be your IT department or responsibility of a particular line of business application or the key core business application. So that's where you can start with saying, for the critical and web-based part of your business, are they fully in control of being able to ascertain who's accessing what? Are you having needs to ensure that you need to support multiple forms of authentication in the future? Is your application capable to handle it? Are you trying to integrate each of those form factors within your application? And do you have an enterprise strategy across your lines of business on how to address that? So that's where SAMEB brings in a key differentiator to say, all right, today this is your line of business. You integrate with SAMEB. We support this means of authentication. And if this is your other line of business, and with SAMEB, you just integrate the other forms of authentication and still be able to access your application, without which you would have had various application in various strong authentication vendors trying to integrate with their application. And then the customer goes through painful cycles, either based on experience or vendor support and so on, of having to deal with various vendors trying to integrate with their applications, their testing cycles, and so on and so forth. So where they may as well focus on the core business aspects rather than the security aspects. The other type of buyer or influence could be a chief compliance officer or chief security officer. And to help them prove audit findings of who has accessed what, how many failed users try to access today, how many users got locked out today, and this will help them with their compliance and audits and so on. So this is another area where SAMIB can, you can start to engage the customer on positioning SAMIB capabilities. Slide 15. There are a few other scenarios. One is pain of rising health test costs. So without a lack of a single sign-on environment, end users may be trying to access multiple applications, probably trying to sign on multiple times. So the overhead, not just in terms of end user experience, but also for an organization for caring about their health test budget, that is also that also would affect. Now, this could there are some numbers mentioned, such as a typical call for a password reset can cost as much as $20 per call for the organization that is supporting that. And this numbers can vary across the geographies. Nevertheless, there are other prospecting questions, such as web application flexibility, throughput, and security of the enterprise. How do I ensure that I don't need to go through the authentication, authorization, and testing cycles for each application? And as long as I delegate it to a particular product that has been specialized and deployed over several customers. So that brings in a lot of comfort to the customers for trying to adopt this kind of technology. Slide 16 talks about the various compliance level aspects that you can look for. You could ask customers, do you need to track the flow of identity and entitlements end-to-end in your transaction? And if the answer is yes, how do you do it? How do you do it across your tiers? And how TAMIB and in conjunction with TSIEM can bring in good business, can help solve their critical issues. Slide 17. It talks about differentiators of our solution. One is the aspect of scalability. It can support increasing number of users and increasing number of applications, faster time to deploy. So some customers have tried painfully hard to develop their own proprietary single sign-on kind of a module. They've had plenty of challenges, and it is a big, the value proposition is to buy versus build. Breadth of open standard supports. So TAMIB supports open standards in terms of authentication like LDAP-based and so on. And often no application impact. So the typical question could come, okay, but I'm having these applications, I don't want, and these are done by a particular vendor. Can you still do this authentication authorization without modifying the application? And invariably, the reason for also having the proxy-based approach is to ensure that your proxy-based system is completely independent of your backend application. So that brings in good amount of isolation. The other aspect is, since SAMIB works pretty much on web-based standardized protocols, and it uses standard technology like forms-based sign-on to be able to sign on to a backend application. So often the impact is extremely minimal to modify an application. In most of the cases, you don't need to even modify an application. But in some cases, if your application is not absolutely standard using your RFC specs and so on, then there may be a requirement to modify. But that has been extremely rare. And the other differentiators is our strong integration with other IBM middleware. So you would see that TAM has very good integration with portfolio security products like Identity Manager, Enterprise Sign-On, and many other things. And it also has integration with other IBM middleware like WebSphere Application Server, Portal, and there are established red books to help you or guide customers on how these integrations are done and what are their value propositions. So the next set of slides we'll run through comparing and contrasting our TAMEB with other Tivoli IAM solutions. Now, TFIM, which stands for Tivoli Federated Identity Manager, and TAM. So TFIM is a product which pretty much addresses federated sign-on or across your cross-domain single sign-on, sometimes it's called, which is basically about extending your single sign-on to other domains or other customers or partners systems. For instance, let's say your organization wants to provide single sign-on for a person who's logged in through your internet to an external travel agency which is tied to you or to an external stockbroking or an insurance or medical healthcare kind of a site. So that's where typically TFIM comes of use, whereas TAMEB is pretty much used on within your enterprise kind of a sign-on. But even in such a scenario, TAMEB can handle your initial authentication and initial access and even take a validation whether this person has access to has the required permissions to access the third-party site and so on. TFIM Enterprise comes with TAMEB bundled within its package. And ways that you can look to sell TFIM with TAMEB is when customer needs to address SSO, single sign-on, to multiple domains. The other aspect of having TFIM is if customer says, I have these applications that they can consume only Kerberos-based tickets, then TAMEB and TFIM have a good integration story where TAMEB, you can have the user log in to TAM, and TAM can generate a Kerberos ticket with the help of TFIM, and it can pass across to an application, thereby enabling you single sign-on. Slide 19 talks about TAMEB and TFIM working together as an example. So it refers to the example that we just highlighted. A person logs in to their own internet site, like myhr.com. TAMEB helps you authenticate the user. It helps you create the session. It validates what the user is trying to do and so on. And when the user clicks on options.com, which is your stock options in this case, and this basically it's a sign-on across the enterprise, and there are standards on how to do this. So the popular standards for single sign-on across enterprise are like SAML, Liberty, and Liberty, the later standards have been integrated into SAML later specification, AWS Federation, and so on. TFIM supports all these standards, SAML, AWS Federation, and Liberty, and OpenID as well. And TAM consults TFIM when there has to be a request that has to go to a third party. So TFIM constructs the token using this particular protocol and passes as part of the request to the third party site. The third party site will basically validate the incoming token, map it to a known user or a business entity that is interacting with it, and allow access, allow or deny access as per its policies. So this is a way by which TAMEB and TFIM can work together to provide single sign-on. The other aspect is about TAMEB and TAM Enterprise sign-on. So as I've explained before, TAMEB addresses the web single sign-on and TAM ESSO addresses the enterprise sign-on. So you may want to sell TAM ESSO along with TAMEB if client wants benefit for SSO for their internal environment or employees. And the scope is beyond the web SSO. So they may say, all right, I may have a set of people who want enterprise web sign-on, but I also have my administrators who need to access my terminal applications. I have my call center employees accessing some tick client applications, help desk employees, and so on. So if you're looking at enterprise sign-on, which is beyond your web single sign-on, so TAMI SSO can also be sold in conjunction with TAMI B in such cases. The next slide talks about how Tivoli provides a unified or complete single sign-on across the various types of tags. TFIM can also help you handle authentication and authorization of web services. TAMI-B can address your web single sign-on. ESSO, which is often an agent that is deployed at your end desktops, it can help you sign on to your non-web targets. And ESSO has another component called Web Workplace, using which you can sign on to your Web SSO targets. Slide 22. TAMI-B and TIM. Some customers and otherwise may have this confusion. We have TIM, Tivoli Identity Manager, or in fundamentally Identity Management. Identity Management also talks about role-based access control. And what is it that TAMI-B is talking about access control as well? So that becomes overlapping. So the typical answer is Tivoli Identity Manager helps you create the identities as per the policy. Who should have an identity in a particular system as per the business policy? Whereas TAMI-B is more of a runtime nature that, all right, assuming that you have identities as part of your underlying infrastructure, how do I ensure that I validate the identity? How do I ensure that whether the identity has an access to access this particular system, has privileges to access this particular system? How do I strongly validate the identity? How do I ensure the web security aspects of the transactions that are happening? How do I ensure the policies? How do I ensure that the person is coming from, is accessing on a particular time of day or particular network or so on and so forth? So TAMI-B addresses the access control more at a runtime layer rather than TIM. So with that difference set clearly apart, TIM's primary purpose, as I said, was to ensure provisioning of the identities in various systems, and also deprovision, which is basically removal of identities across the various systems in an automated manner. TIM and TAM have very good integration that is inbuilt. They are tightly integrated. So one point to keep in mind is from TIM, you can automate the creation of accounts into TAMI-B, and you can take TAMI-B as a target. So that brings you a well-integrated solution for customers. And often if you're talking about TIM and TAMI-B to a customer, it makes sense to sell what we call a Tivoli Identity and Access Assurance Package. Slide 23 talks about the agents, the TAM agents that are available out of the box for TIM integration. So that way, you'll be able to extend your TIM benefits to your TAM environment. And using the adapter or the agent, you'll be able to import or create TAM user IDs and passwords from TIM and be able to synchronize your passwords for your backend applications as well using TIM. So TIM brings in a lot of value in a TAM environment, especially towards managing your user IDs across your various systems and the passwords and synchronizing them and so on. Slide 24 talks about TAMI-B with TFIM and TSPM. TSPM stands for Tivoli Security Policy Manager. So in a typical cloud or SOA or web services world, TAMI-B gives way to TFIM for primarily propagating identities as you travel through web services. So when there is a web service call that hops from one layer to another, we will see in the next slide to come. TFIM can be used for propagating the identities, and TSPM can be used as your authorization point for doing your fine-grained authorization control. Slide 25 talks about how, so in this case, you are having multiple user registries across the various domains, and perhaps this user Barak may need to access a particular application in domain B and probably using a different ID and a password, right? Or a different sort of a token, different sort of a credential. So in such a case, the client, the web service client, can make a call to TSIM to transform the user identity, as you can see on the top portion. And he can validate that his ID and passwords with the credentials and say, I want to access this particular application. What are the equivalent credentials I would need? Or I would need this particular form of a token, and can you give me this token? And once he gets that token, he can access the particular domain B, without which the complexity is more for an application in domain A to be able to transform or know how to interact with various token types across the various applications. So that's where TSIM becomes a very useful broker to transform your user identity. The next slide talks about PAM-EB coarse grain versus CSPM fine grain. So here we have aspects such as the user says, I'm insurance agent Fred, can I approve this claim? And the police officer or the decision maker says, I already know Fred's identity and role. And there may be other questions that he may need answers to. Is the claim by his client? Is the claim below the limit? Is the fraud detection program says, I know that who's the respective person? And my, and if the answer of all this is yes, then I'm going to let him take it, right? So if you want to have a high-level decision based on, I know the identity, does this person have this access, and at best, using a static list of policies, then TAM-EB becomes a perfect fit. And TSPM becomes a good fit when you want to have much more finer grain of authorization controls and across multiple types that have to be customized by the application. Slide 27, we talk about latest TAM-EB and TSIM enhancements. There have been many enhancements in the product, and some of the later ones, the new changes include aspects such as improved support for .NET environment. So one is we have Kerberos Junction support. I'm highlighting a couple of examples, even though it's not mentioned in the slide. And you can find more information about this in the TAM 6.1 product documentation. So one is our improved support for .NET environment. We support Kerberos junctions to be able to sign on to a backend. And like we talked, TFIM can be used to generate Kerberos tokens. In terms of registry, improved registry support, we also have ADAM, which is Active Directory in application mode. And we also support now AD password policies, which are there if you want to use AD as a registry. There has been several improvements when it comes to improved security aspects, such as one is it has improved anti-fraud support using HTTP-only session cookie. So IE 6 SP1 and Firefox 2 brought in capability to add within a cookie what we call as an attribute like HTTP only, and that helps mitigate the risk of cross-site scripting attacks. So TAM-EB has support for that as part of the newer versions. Also, TAM-EB has supports for has support for OCSP, which is Online Certificate Status Protocol. It is more like CRL list, like a certificate revocation list. So if you have a particular X509 certificate and you want to know the status, whether it is has to be revoked and so on, using the OCSP protocol, then TAM-EB now has this extended capability. CRL support is still available. SSO for data power for Web2.0 is one of the new features. The other aspects are like leveraging the TDS and the Sun directory server password and account policies. So earlier, for TDS, account policies were much more stronger leveraged. Now we have extended that to password policies from the directory server, like Sun directory server, to be leveraged. In terms of web plugins, we have a wider web server support, and more information can be found in the release notes. Moving on to a few aspects of objection handling. So customers may say, I heard plugins are easier to deploy, and is that more difficult to work with? Now, a typical response, our response would typically be that we support both the proxy and the plugins, and a huge majority of our customers, we've talked about 1,500 plus, and a vast majority of them prefer to use proxy because it's better manageable, better isolated, and easily scalable, and you don't have vendors saying that my application is slow because of a third-party plugin. So those are some of our, that should be one of our responses for these type of questions. And the other objection could be, I could just use the security that comes with my platform. Why should I pay for a web access management or web SSO? I think we've addressed this in the various slides and the depiction earlier. So TAMEB helps you address these capabilities across the broad single sign-on, ensuring a unified security policy across the applications, and it basically mitigates your security relevant. It helps you alleviate your security requirements of a particular delivery channel, thereby enabling it for better performance. So those would be some of our responses we could give. In terms of competition, we're not going to go detailed on how we do against each and every specific competitor in this particular slide deck. There is always a Tivoli competitive action wiki. You can look for further information. But some of the generic factors, one is TAMEB is more scalable. The other aspect is TAMEB is more available. We talked about the policy that is being replicated to the decision point, and it's independent, so making the solution available. So that is one of our advantages. And the management using a proxy server becomes much more easier, especially in a large environment where you have tens or hundreds or thousands of servers, and I need to have a much plugin-based architecture. And the difficult part on a plugin architecture is a plugin is suited for each version. So as and when there is a version of a new web server, then your plugin has to go through a testing of it. Whereas all this makes much more easier with a TAMEB or a reverse proxy kind of an approach. TAMEB, we have a strong linkage to a security portfolio, provisioning full SSO, fine-grained authorization, and so on. Our product, TAMEB, is Kraman Criteria EAL3 plus certified. So this is an independent body that certifies how good a security solution this is. EAL3 is pretty much a very good level for certification, and we are EAL3 plus. We are very well recognized by the industry analysts. We are a leader in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for Web Access Management, IDC, Frost & Sullivan, and so on. And we've been number one in terms of web access management for quite a while now. So as we are wrapping up, call to action. Familiarize yourself with TAMEB, and hopefully some of these ways how you can help kickstart conversations may help you. Find out the clients that you want to target, and we've talked about ways to identify that. And there are plenty of material available within IBM as well that you can leverage to help yourself better. Slide 31 talks about various contacts that can be of your help. I've also included various links. So in terms of India, Gaurav Agarwal is our Tivoli sales leader, or the country manager for Tivoli sales overall. Vaidyanathan Iyer, or YD, is our sales leader for Tivoli security sales. And we have Tiger Team security consultants and architects who can help you, and lab services team as well. And I also have links that are provided that you can read for further references. like the data sheet, the product page. The product page also takes you through the product documentation for further information and so on. Redbooks gives you information on various integrations that have been done, how to do it step by step, and so on. DeveloperWorks talks about specific articles relevant to TAMEB. So if you go to Redbooks or DeveloperWorks, you can search for TAMEB and you'll find a whole bunch of it. So with that, I'd like to end today's presentation. So security always comes with trade-offs, so make sure that you're having the aspect of risk, cost, and usability in mind, and also ensure that the customer has in mind when you're trying to address security and how best you can use TAMEB to address that. With that, I'd like to open the floor for further questions. Laurie, if you could help open up the bridge for further questions, I'll be glad to answer it.
If you would like to ask a question from the phone, please press star 1. I will announce your name before your question. Again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Again, at this time, if you do have a question from the phone, please press star 1. Okay, and I am showing a question from Jared Bolivar. Your line is open.
I just want to see if it's possible to explain a little bit more about the junctions, how the junctions differ from policies. Is the TAMEB normally uses policies from access control list, or you have a real life policy? I know there is a policy server, but I'm kind of confused between the policies, ACL, access control list, and the junction.
Okay. Sure. So policies are typically like your identity policy, whether they are like your password policy to say I should have so many characters in your password, so many alphanumeric and so on. That could be like your security policy. The other types of policies could include aspects such as how many concurrent, whether for the same user can I have any number of concurrent sessions, or is there a limit that I should have? That could also be like your security policies. The other types of policies could also be what we call as protected object policies, to say, is this user allowed to access during this particular time of day, or is this user allowed to access from this network, and so on. So those are typically like your security policies that are there in TAMEB. In terms of access control lists typically say, for this user or this group, do they have permission to access this particular target resource? So do they have permission to access the website portal? Do they have the permission to access another web page from, let's say, like a knowledge library and so on? Do they have access to a trading application in case of a banking? So access control lists are pretty much to say, who are the users, who are the groups, do they have access? And again, what type of access do they have? Can they traverse to this directory? Can they just do a read of a particular file? Or can they do an execute if it is applicable? So those would be your access control policies. In terms of junctions are pretty much for TAMEB to be able to know, how do I need to talk to a particular application? Is my application, what IP is it listening on? What port is it listening on? Do I need to talk to it through HTTP or HTTPS? Where is the certificate? And so on and so forth. So that is what junction is. So a junction is pretty much for once a user is saying that I want to access a particular application, it is mainly for TAMEB to say, how do I pass it the request once I have authenticated to a particular target? That is where TAMEB comes in picture. So that's where, sorry, junctions come in picture. You can apply an ACL on a particular junction. So that would say, all right, now I know the way to access a particular resource. Do I have an access either because of my individual identity, like a specific access, or as part of my group identity to be able to access this particular junction? So how it translates is, do I have access to access this particular application? Do I have access to access this particular web page that is coming out of an application? So that is how your access control policies can be applied over the junction. And likewise, your security policies, especially like your time of day access and your network access, can be applied over a target application that is being accessed. Does that answer your question? Has it clarified you?
Yes. A little bit better, and I'm sure that probably if I have more couple of examples, we can take it offline in another time. Fine.
Sure. We'll be glad to help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, at this time, if you do have a question from the phone, please press star 1. Okay, I am showing no further questions at this time.
Okay. I'd like to thank you all, and feel free to reach out to me if you have any further questions. My email ID is there in the first slide of the deck. You can send me an email and we can catch up if you have any further questions. Thank you once again. Wish you all a great day ahead or a great evening. Thank you.
Thank you. And that does conclude today's conference, and parties may disconnect at this time.